Revolutionary Activist Show, and I'm your weaver of context, Caroline Casey. So we're convening all councils, all sweats, all radio magic, of which this is an embodiment, may it be so, you know, inaugurating rituals to form alliances with nature's guiding genius. And so I have a Tuesday election magic council, I have a Monday council, and then this council. And I think it's a great idea for all of us to write our own ballot, what we're intending to vote for. And if it amuses you, if it hums, then to do that and then take it out into a place that you love. I did that yesterday, you know, and always asking permission, of course, going, oh, sycamore tree, may I tuck this ballot inside you? Yes, you may. With some red pepper to encourage turnout, with some honey that integrity may prevail, with some cornmeal to protect the democratic experiment. And I'm going to go back and feed it every day. I've got coyote hair here. I'll go back and take it some. But a wonderful ally in both Monday and Tuesday council said, ah, you have liberated me, because I was going to vote my conscience. And I was like, you know, and just write in somebody good. And I, you know, but you have liberated me. I can vote for what I really want and then vote for the strategy of sanity. And I go, oh, that's a really good idea. So here we are. We want steady strategy for navigating the swirling story river of now. I like on Twitter, somebody, Mina Harris, said, nothing the FBI said changes the two things you need to know right now. The Proud Boys are a white supremacist neo-fascist gang, and Trump will do everything he can in the next 12 days to interfere with the election. Stay focused. And we go, yes. So it is more than perfectly. We are hosting among the calmest and steadiest of allies that I know, Ron Kauk, denizen of Yosemite, one of the world's most renowned rock climbers, mentoring youth in challenging circumstances to reconnect with the supportive embrace of wild nature, author of Spirit of the Rock, and letters from the sacred, and from the Patagonia website, it says, Ron draws from his wide range of experience in climbing, which include bouldering, first ascent of Midnight Lightning, long routes, first free ascent of Astro Man, and mountaineering, first ascent east face of Uli Viajo, Pakistan. Whoa! Ron formed a vision from these experiences, which he turned into Sacred Rock, R-O-K, a nonprofit that seeks the wisdom of nature's way, bringing young people into the world of Yosemite. So welcome that we may engage in radio magic inaugurating the desirable guiding story. Welcome, Ron Kauk.
Thank you, Caroline. It's always an honor to be with you and on the Good News Channel, I'd like to say, you know, so we can make that connection.
Yes, that's wonderful. All praise to all of our teammates here at KPFA. That's right, as we, here we are. We're in this turbulent river, but we have a boat. You know, we've been crafting our craft. And on the boat, there's a tiller, which is our dedicated heart's desire. And we host our sails, Jupiter and Uranus, our craft that we've been crafting for quite a long time, and our willing availability, you know, to hoist our sails. So the metaphor I like, we don't need to create the river, the boat, the tiller, or the wind. We want to see ourselves on the boat, hand steady on the tiller, sails up, and rejoice in all the companionable crafts that we're woohooing together, right? So yes. So always in our conversations and your past being guest on radio show, but just from rock climbing, just the things that you've said so often, but I think we feel that we need them now is, you know, when you're, you know, it's the composting of fear, however you want to bring that to us. You're climbing up a rock face, and what do you do?
Yeah, concentrating, you know. But I wanted to say thank you for that introduction about the rock climbing. And we go through these stages of life, you know. And at this stage of life, I have a lot to reflect on. And so the essence of that whole journey of climbing these challenging routes and so forth was about making a connection and building that relationship with the rock and learning from the rock, you know. And my mind was orientated to solutions, always looking for a solution, always believing there was a way, You know, and as I look at that, I go, what a profound teacher that the rock has been to help me remember what it means to be a human being and respect that environment of the vertical world, and to adapt myself to the, well, the natural laws, because I had to use a rope and protect myself, and the fear would come in, and at that moment of fear, you say to yourself, well, I better calm down and think about what to do. You know, so fear worked in your favor. As it started to arise, you started to be calmer and think, okay, what's the obvious thing to do? Put in some gear, assess the situation, step back down slowly. You know, so it's been an incredible process to try to deal with common sense, you know. So today I was thinking, what an opportunity to really work into the common sense of what it means to be a human being and the gifts we've been given to make our connection. You know, because there's a lot of stuff going on outside, you know, ourselves. It seems chaotic and, you know, like it's talked about so much, obviously, the elections. And I happened to be listening to the first talk, you know, presidential talk there. And all I could hear was two guys trying to talk at the same time. And I just felt like, wow, this is where we're at. Huh? You know, I was chopping wood up in the village here in Yosemite, our new village where, you know, for the ceremonies and so forth to carry on something that began thousands of years ago. So it's just a little reference point. But what really is intriguing me now is how exciting it is, even when we're still going on in this shelter-in-place thing, that it kind of put us inside our house. But if we go further, a step further, go inside ourselves and just grasp the amount of intelligence that we've been given as human beings. This is kind of something I've been going with the last days more than ever for some reason, probably because of our last ceremony that we had. You know, it just evokes thoughts and connections even more to things like the water, you know, and this intelligence of creation. So, like you say, I live in Yosemite. It's a World Heritage Site. Everyone from every corner of the world has come here to look at the beauty of Yosemite. And like I say to our incarcerated kids, when you look at that beauty of Yosemite, see it in yourself, because you were created too. From creation, there's a connection, you know. So within that intelligence and creativity, like I like that you've had Michael Mead on your show, and he kind of calls on that creativity we have inside ourselves to look for solutions. So I really appreciate the things he said about that too. And back to the rock climbing, finding solutions, you know. So we're poised to think about when we make it through into this next cycle, with, you know, beyond the elections, what's waiting for us? You know, what have we gone through to get back inside ourselves, recognize the intelligence and the creativity we have to respond to the situation? You know, so it's really intriguing for me, and I've been working on the idea for our kids to, you know, develop some kind of curriculum that would help them get that foundation with themselves, which would be seeing the value of ourselves and to find that respect for yourself. And when we find that value and respect for ourselves, we can respect others. So if you recognize our human behavior these days, we don't always treat each other so nicely. Then you think, well, where does that come from? Well, that's coming from inside that person who doesn't feel too good about themselves. So how far back do you got to go in their lives to think about what happened to them? Now, when you read that astrology reading for me, gave me my astrology reading, you mentioned about being a young person making a vow of some kind. Maybe in my case, it was not to count on anybody. But that vow could become a spell. So I think we're under a spell right now, and maybe you will run with this, but how do we take that vow that's become a spell and break the spell? That's what excites me right now, to break the spell, to become more conscious with inside ourselves and think about that we've been given the gift of life. And that's a very powerful thing to think about.
Right. Well, I just want to repeat, too, fear is a friend that guides us to calm, right? All kerfuffles, incentive to experiment, to be more authentic. There we go. That's right. Right, and so I'm here surrounded by coyote hair and the chart of our show and your chart and then Trump's chart and Biden's chart and the chart of the debate tonight and the chart of Kristen Welker, that we may send her support. She is a Cancer, a Sun in Cancer. I remember J.H. Jacobs says Cancer is just a Scorpio in a housecoat, so it's like, and she's a dragon. Like Kamala Harris. And I love Ursula Le Guin's admonition, those who do not listen to dragons are doomed to live out the nightmare of politicians. So just as an experiment without any tightness, right, we want to suck the chi out of the hyper-yang puer debate hype, right? As though it was a wrestling match between two old guys. No, no, and it's like, no, 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 yeah. Settle that down. And already Trump's been attacking the strong dragon woman. No, that's not. So just a sense right now, you know, and this ties into you and why I'm so delighted to Kahoot, to do Radio Dance again, because so much of now Mars, our woofiness, what we reward as heroism, is retrograde all the way until, you know, November 15th. And the saying is that the aggressor always loses when Mars is retrograde, and we go, ah. But Mars is going on a vision quest to remember what is positive yang, you know, within all of us, regardless of age, race, and gender assignment, you know, within all of us. And right now, Mars's image is a magic carpet hovering over drab city streets, and we go, well, that's good. All right, let's go for that. So, you know, a little radio magic, just sucking the chi as we gather our steady and deliberate strategy and weave, you know, the power of nature with which you are so kinned and we aspire to be as well into the befoibled realm of humans and politics and all, that they may be in some quirky accord, right? Because you never know. So I wanted to play with that. The aggressor always loses. Might be true really always in a sense, right? Because you're not aggressive. And again, over and over every time we speak, but I'm so appreciative of you working with the incarcerated youth. And because you have so much Mars credibility, right? Because you've done these amazing things and been stunt double for movie stars and whatnot, and you are immune to glamour, really. But it gives you enormous credibility because you are strong enough to be gentle. And these kids can see that going, he did these spirit, and he's guiding us to be calm and kind and gentle and connect, and so you've earned that. I just find that so wonderful, and so, you know, we all have a giant cauldron. I mean, this whole everything in the world is in our lives as well. I mean, the exquisite language of astrology says, you know, it's in a language of our interior psyche and its separation by a thin membrane we call identity from the whole huge big conversation. So the death and rebirth cauldron in the world is in our lives too, somewhere staged. So we all do have a cauldron into which to throw things. And there's a fabulous sight tonight, right? It will be presiding over the debate, you know, so and everything else going on in the world, right? So it's not just that. But O team, if the sky is not too cloudy or smoky, one will see Jupiter, then the moon, then Saturn, all lined up, glorious, glorious, what a great planet. And just to stand underneath that and go, whew, you know, no need to impose anything on it, except that it does say to us, there's this cauldron of death and rebirth, and it says, think of debate, think of this election as an American initiation. Can this country get cooked in this cauldron to emerge with altruism and the psilocybe sacraments of curiosity, confidence, and kindness? And then for all of us, it says, whatever dedicated vessel we place on our altar, Jupiter says, I will fill it. You know, what are we going to ladle out of this cataclysmic time, you know, and for all of us to have the desirable vision to, you know, critique and then vision in the micro circumstance of here now and the debate and the brave Kristen Welker, you know, a cultivated, powerful person with a mute button. She's got a mute button. I think that's great. So I mean, it was, I mean, Trump was the, I know that you listened to the debate, which would have been even more horrible, possibly. Well, who knows? So it was like two men yelling. But it was really mostly one man yelling, having a fit of tantrum yoga, as Steve Behrman says, and can't do that now. And then we get to guide in some way, you know, may unexpected, you know, guiding story, may climate crisis emerge, may there be a navigating story we could all get behind. So, yes.
All right. How intriguing. You know, and when you reference rock climbing, for me, as a metaphor, you know, all the challenges that we went into, and you mentioned Pakistan, you know, to go over there in that environment, and in a way, it's slightly against all odds, you know. You know, the chances of the weather, and we make it to the summit. But there was something so, well, on many levels of adventure and challenge, and you prepared yourself, and you're determined, and you want to get to the top, and we made it to the top of that, you know, looking out all over the Himalayan mountains, so that's interesting that's in my psyche, like to go up against all odds in some ways, or starting rock climbing so far back in the 70s where there was no sponsors or real industry. Like, it was just something you really believed in, you really felt it, you know. And I personally have developed through that way of feeling and using the intuition, you know. And then the beautiful thing was, it was all about building a relationship, and for me it was with Yosemite, you know, and finding a sense of place which activates your senses. So my senses are very engaged in with nature, and that relationship is I think a lot where our power comes from in our identity as people, because we are nature. And nowadays I find it kind of funny when I might have a conversation about this, and I could feel that maybe this sounds a little crazy to people, like, man, this guy's really nature, you know. But this is what's so interesting about the time we're in, because when we do find that connection and that nurturing from nature and that love, and then we take it a step further to think about the intelligence we've been given. And as I've been feeling that more lately, I realize that my compassion for other people is going way up. You know, it's just that we're all human beings, you know, and we're kind of in this curious struggle. But that was like struggling your way up the mountain over there, 18,000 feet, and there's 2,000 more feet to go. You know, you're tired and you're hungry, but you're this drive within you, you know, wants to get to the top of that, you know. So that's what's so exciting about these times now, with our kids that are locked up, you know, and what's the recidivism, they come back, or all this stuff. But we just keep working on it to make sense. And I think one of our greatest gifts as human beings is to make sense, like the opportunity to make sense of things. So climbing is so basic, but again, you have to use common sense. So as I stand around out here in the beauty of Yosemite, I look at the sun, and it's a beautiful realm of light, you know, and it gives us energy to the earth. And I never forget that. Every day I'll think about that when the sun comes up. So I'm trying to imagine how we can get this back, our strength back, and break the spell of separation that's been created in a lot of ways to a society that's run on industrialization. The public school system is somewhat run on that model of industrialization, to kind of train people to, you know, do a job and follow instructions. We're not necessarily for or against that, but in observation of that, it sort of didn't put too much time into the nature, you know, the connections and the respect and the behavior. So all I see now is nothing but potential, if we can activate ourselves inside and know who we are from inside ourselves and look at each other like that. You know, we're beings that have been created, and you can look at however you want to understand that. But that's a fact. So I think that kind of, it's humbling, it's powerful, and it also, I think, makes us humans responsible. We would take more responsibility for that. And then maybe would make a little clearer, because everything we do has an effect. We know that. So then we say, well, how do we want to affect things, you know? So even, like, I like listening to Cornel West when he talks about, if he mentions Trump, he'll say, you know, and Brother Trump, you know, like, it's a way of identifying other humans, you know? And really, yeah.
That's great. And that's a great segue to what I was looking at when you said, you know, against all odds. And we go, well, against all odds are the odds that Trickster within us all really likes. And, you know, and we met on the phone because you heard about me from somewhere, and we met doing astrological charts. So I didn't know anything about you. And you weren't forthcoming much at first, because I just said, balance is balance somewhere in the center of your life, and you're like, yeah, keep going. It is, and the word deliberate, you know, is to be in a state of liberating balance. But so your trickster self in your first house of identity and the effect you have on others as liberating, it's this beautiful degree that Karen Sanders, wonderful herbalist on this station as well, has as her rising sign. It's children swinging on the, under the branch of an old oak tree, the borrowed strengths of ancient traditions all having their roots in nature mysticism. We go, that's you. But then, quirkily, that's Trump's Pluto. I'm like, oh, phooey, what is that? And, you know, I've wondered, you know, yeah, can you look at a chart and tell that somebody's cruel and evil? You go, no, you really can't. You know, and it's more, then you ask the questions in which you kind of empathically tune in. What is this unique individual doing with this set of assignments? Oh, he got slammed into all the... But your liberating Uranus lands on his Pluto obsession, just in case you want to send him any liberating blessing, because we are friends of your soul. We are friends of your indictment. Right. And I did just, you know, all magic is all ritual is literalized metaphor. So for many years, longtime listeners will remember this. And I was wondering whether to dust it off. And I'm like, oh, yeah, just let's use everything. Experiment. As long as we're allowed to set anything in motion, as long as we would be the happy recipients ourselves. So my late friend Santero Marcelino said, if somebody's abusing power, you write their name on a piece of paper and you put it in an ice cube tray and you stick it in the freezer to cool them out. And I was talking to a friend, a wonderful ally. Hi, Sylvia. And I go, should we create another ritual or many more, or is this one still useful? She says, I still have Dick Cheney in the freezer. I'm like, oh, okay, very good. I haven't heard from him much lately. That's good. All right, we're back on. And we check it with ourselves. If I were abusing power, would I be okay with somebody sticking my name in a freezer to cool me out? Yeah. Okay, and it goes with the blessing. You know, may those abusing power be moved to a place they can no longer harm themselves by harming others. And just inviting in something, some trickster spirit to do with it what you will. Whatever, accountability is a great friend. When we're convening right now, Saturn, which is authority, contains the word author. We inhale our authority, or the world is authoritarian. So everybody's autonomy. Autonomy is a sacrament, right? We've been outsourcing it to incompetent dingbats that we then formed into polarity with, and the polarity feeds the dementors. No, swirling that, right? But it is a quirky thing, and yeah, Cornel West is good that way. You know, Brother Trump, you know, fell off the, got slammed into the negative tyrannical part of himself, and he'd like to be helped off stage. There we go. There you go, lad, into some cauldron of oblivion. Yeah. But,
yeah. Well, it's back to breaking the spell, right? We don't want to underestimate when you write someone's name or you put it. There's a lot of things that's what I'm trying to get, this power we have, even with our thoughts and the ceremonies, you know. And I think that's going to have a lot to do with the future for reuniting us people in our communities and in our neighborhoods, you know. If we can get in tune with the higher intelligence we have, that we, as human beings, to be responsible for what we're doing and realize that our connection is everything, our relationships are everything, you know, and don't just wait for someone else to do it, you know, or like we're saying, complaining and crying, that's learning on the rock. It's you. You're hanging on your own hands and using your own feet. You cry all you want and complain all you want, but the only one that's going to pull you up there at that moment is you. So we all have an opportunity to make a move into the future now and say, how do I take responsibility for myself and be find that self-respect so that I can give that respect, you know, and work together. That's what we're doing up here in Yosemite. You know, we've got our elders around, Bill Tucker, and guys that have grown up here, and we're working on this new village, and it's about tradition and culture, but it's about working together. And all these things sometimes sound so simple, but it's very profound. When human beings can work together on something, then you might have your ceremonies. And in that ceremony, you start to realize the power of sincerity when we're singing songs together, or someone has a thought they'd like to share about the future of the country or the children or whatever it is. We should never underestimate that power, because that's a gift we've been given from creation or creator, however you want to look at it, to have the ability to think. So a thought has energy. It'll go somewhere. You know, that's why what they're saying in the collective conscious, the more of us right now in California start thinking about rain, get that rain to come back. You know, that's just another realm of our ability as human beings to make a connection. You know, that's just how it is. But the spell is that we got separated from that. We kind of don't know what to believe right now. In a lot of ways, we don't believe in ourselves. And the more we don't believe in ourselves, the kind of more affected we are by so many things from outside of us that kind of makes us a little sick or it's a disease, you know. But so that's what I feel like right now. We're at an incredible point to remember who you are from inside yourself. And think about that intelligence that runs your immune system, the intelligence of your digestive system. Your body has so much intelligence, it gets rid of what it doesn't need and keeps what it does. That should be the same for our minds. These negative thoughts should be let go of and then grab onto the positive thoughts and keep talking those positive thoughts, you know, and relate to the earth, you know, have that commitment to the earth. You know, our political system and our governments are an important part of our society to deal with. But the future is going to be coming back to our reality of being from the earth and being caretakers of the earth, because we cannot control this earth. We can just help along, you know. And the more we try to control things, you might have noticed it gets out of control. You know, it's not about trying to control things all the time. And that's part of the natural way. You know, that's where the power is.
Right, and Pluto would say, let go of control so real power can come on in. That's what we always got to do. And probably in rock climbing, which is abstract to me, but in fairy tales, it's like, let go of control, let the reins on the magic horse be slack because the horse knows what to do. Yeah, and what you said, you know, part of our journey and, you know, the guiding mytho, astro mytho story, but it's in us, which is the only place it's really valid. But we're on this ride, on one level to the winter solstice. And on the winter solstice, Saturn and Jupiter conjoin. So we can see, it's so beautiful. We can see them every night, you know, when we can see them, when it's not smoky or cloudy. And they're getting closer and closer together. This is responsibility, opportunity, getting together. They get together every 20 years and they will conjoin on the winter solstice. The birth of the trickster redeemer, King Arthur's birthday, you know, hi, John the Conqueror, come on back. All these folk heroes who went away, right, to await the world's call at a time of danger. And we go, now would be really good. But they will conjoin at zero Aquarius, and they set the template for the next 20 years. And zero Aquarius is the community of former loners and outsiders. It's an old Adobe mission in the desert. We might change mission to something less colonial, but we'll use it for the moment. Being a cultural beacon, right? So we're electing community, right? And mutual aid and how we connect with each other and, you know, and then wondering and intelligent discourse, what debates are supposed to be about what is the definition of desirable governance, you know, which is us. We want to inhale it back in. And, you know, for instance, you know, this sane, reverent common sense, you know, again, we're heading in. If we can do 6 weeks of mask and shelter, we could be all, you know, constraint leads to liberation. Yeah. Saturn, to be a citizen, you know, says there's some constraint that leads to separation. I had to tell the dogs, the leash on the dogs, they were like, well, I go, no, it's a constraint, but it's going to take us to a big world. They go, okay. But to do that, you know, we would take care of everybody. Everybody out of work would get paid and supported, and nobody would get evicted from their houses, and we would all brew our next tasks. You know, it's like Dune Lankert, you know, pay the fishermen to not fish, to become stewards of the ocean, pay the loggers to not log, to get ready for their new job. That's what we would be doing now, taking care of everybody so nobody falls into the void. Nobody's evicted onto the street with their kids and no car and no money. Right. It's like, no, this is that's so unanimal. animal. I'm sorry, that's you.
I just want to get what you're saying is also awesome. Because, you know, that's how this Turtle Island was existing, people in the tribes and helping each other, working together and all that kind of stuff. But what's really catching me as I'm listening to you is when we human beings come from our heart, like it said, and you from that heart you can feel the spirit. And Standing Rock came into my mind. The spirit of Standing Rock was very powerful.
Yes.
It was prophesied,
yes, yes.
too. Okay. Then a friend of mine the other day was talking about that white buffalo cow, that little calf, the white buffalo calf, prophecy that all the races would come together. And personally, I'm feeling that for Yosemite because our chair on Sacred Rock is the former chief ranger. He's been advocating for quite a while due to the fact that they're World Heritage Sites, that they could be centers for peace, these parks, the ones that they call, well, all parks. And in that circle that's being created within Yosemite Valley, that land has been given back to the people from here for ceremony and so forth, that door is open. And that is a center for the people to remember our connections as human beings, you know. So as I'm listening to you in this incredible time, and we recognize, well, you've used the expression dire beauty. I think that's pretty good because we are in a beautiful world, you know, and now it's on us human beings to break this spell, come back into our hearts and get to evoke the spiritual connection. However we can understand these words are a little bit rough to use in some ways. They've been exploited this way and that way. But I think if you think about Standing Rock, the effort that was made there to bring attention, that spirit, that's the same spirit that kept the people going through genocide and everything else. And that's what's going to push us right on through this.
And hold that. We're going to take a very short break, our usual Taj Mahal, and come right back with the spirit of Standing Rock and dire beauty and breaking old spells and digging new vows. Our perfect for now steady ally is Ron Kalk. And this is Caroline Casey, Visionary Activist Show, and we'll be right back after this very short Taj Mahal break.
The constellations and dazzled them crossed his eyes. She shook the constellations and dazzled them crossed his eyes. She showered his head with quasars and made his tortoise cry.
Off and down.
Chanty, 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 come blow my chanty home. Ooh, chanty, 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 come blow my chanty home. Grab my indigo sky ship, make its voyage long.
Now get down.
Welcome back, allies, to the Visionary Activist Show. I'm your weaver of context, Caroline Casey. I'm your weaver of Caroline context, Casey. Our splendid steadying denizen of Yosemite, rock climbing guide is Ron Kalk. And we want to, those things you are holding in your hand that we do want to come right back to, the spirit of Standing Rock, dire beauty, breaking the spells, taking new vows. Yeah, Faith Spotted Eagle was so great. I remember at Standing Rock where invaluable word switch, right? Because they didn't use the word protesters. They go, we're not protesters, we're protectors.
Right.
It's like so much more powerful.
Right.
Because protest means to grab your balls and affirm. It comes from testes. And so it's kind of ineffective language because it used to be we're protesting against the war, right? But it's still an energetic U-turn.
Right.
And then the against got dropped. We're protesting the war, which means we're affirming it. Okay, we're protecting. Yeah. And I love Faith Spotted Eagle because so many people showed up, so many wonderful allies. And she goes, here's our story. This is what we're doing. We're not conflict. We're not polarity. You're welcome to join us in this story, right? And it was like the women were laying it down, and the veterans and people from different persuasions were all gathered. Yeah. Were you there?
Respecting that. Yeah. No, I wasn't. I just have friends that have been there, and I've seen the different things on it, and it just went deeply into me. I mean, we got our own little Standing Rock here where they want to run a sewer line through our springs there. You know, we're kind of facing that. That's probably why it was in my mind as well. Mm. To think about water protectors, you know. But then I wanted to jump back to the metaphors of rock climbing. When it gets real cruxy and you've got to really get ready for some hard moves, it's about calming yourself, you know. So it's really an exciting time to share with all of our brothers and sisters and everyone out there to be just calm. The more calm we are, the clearer we can think, and the more we can stay grounded, you know. And that's so important because the knee-jerk reactions, that's kind of the trick out there, you know, to get us always to fight against each other and so forth. You know, and I think that's the breaking of the spell that we've been put under, you know, to go against each other and all that stuff. That's what I'm saying personally. The more I try to understand who I am from inside myself and honor that through respect and even humbleness and even the humility. I mean, we just showed up and we're given a life, you know, so it's your choice to figure out how to do it. And if we can help each other, we can all be better off, you know. But within that, I when I look at another person, I just naturally have more compassion, you know, and more respect. And then hopefully we can talk within that with each other, you know. So, but I think that's going to be bring us back around. And those gatherings, like I said, with Stan Rock, in such a conflicting situation, but to keep people kept it really together. And we're kind of in that mode now to keep it together and see beyond, you know, because, you know, the way democracy is supposed to be is for the people, by the people. So it's up to us to take the responsibility now to get ourselves in a clear, coherent way and not fall for the same trick over and over when they're blasting us in canisters. I mean, I'm not saying that you shouldn't be out there holding the line, you know, okay, there's something that needs to happen. But behind that, with the sacrifice of the people on the front line getting blasted with canisters of tear, whatever they're doing, getting hurt for a sacrifice, how are we preparing to go through that? You know, what would be our vision to be? Yeah. Go ahead.
Well, you know, all of that and forever, so many things. I you know, one of the people who has gone on into the ancestor world that I miss most is great ally Bob Goff, who was lawyer for the Lakota Sioux and was at Standing Rock so much and was talking about Sage Against the Machine, right, and many things and doing so much goodness. But, you know, the calling on the ancestors, and I miss and what we love about them, the quality that we need now, Bob Goff, and the quality of calm, compassionate response pretty much always when dealing with really difficult things, and just that quality coming in. So yeah, to clarify, to react to anything is not free, you know, and that ricocheting, but it feeds the dementors, and it's a natural thing to do. But to cultivate, here comes nature, to cultivate ever expanding repertoire of responses is to be a liberating agent. So yeah, breaking the spell, taking new vows. So for all of us, you know, break the spell of, you know, American greed and the thing and the other, you know, and the demonic aspect of America. America's a sun in Cancer. It's Big Mama. It's all about family. We have the toxic family and the most horrific evil of the separating of babies and children from their families, which is just the worst. They've lost them. 300 plus kids, they have no idea where they are. And 548, they have no idea where the parents are. And it's like everything must be dedicated to reunion. And Mar-a-Lago given to them as immigrant housing. Oh, come on. Right, so the spell of the toxic family. And I've been thinking about this because there's a lot of delusion. De-ludo means out of the game. Illusion in-ludo means in the game. And, you know, so I'm working with this. Somehow the toxic mimic of family, the Trump family virus, has locked into the infantile receptors of some part of American culture. And we can't talk anybody out of delusion. It's a kind of a Neptune thing. But we can do the blessing visualization that the connection between the virus and the receptors of American culture is dissolved. And what I was saying to you last night and backstage and been working on with my councils is, and qualities of animals we want to bring in. So honey badgers and possums, come on in, because they are immune to cobra venom. And because they've evolved so that they can shape-shift their receptors so that the cobra venom no longer fits. And cobra venom, the way it works is it's a perfect match, like viruses are amazing symmetry. Cobra venom also is a perfect match for mammalian breathing, right? It stops breathing. But the honey badgers and the possums, they've evolved so that lock no longer fits, that key no longer fits in their lock. And I just want us all, you know, to liberate all from delusion, just to dissolve that connection. Let's all shape-shift shift and recalibrate the receptors of the American psyche so it's no longer receptive to delusional toxicity and cruelty. Anyway, so I'm working on that one.
I was just saying there's so many gifts we're given to work with, you know.
Yeah.
So we can tune into those and really honor them as sacred. And that goes into ceremonies again, you know. And then our whole body is a ceremony all the time, you know. Your food, like bring all these gifts in to nurture us on many levels of our mind and body and spirit, you know, to strengthen ourselves. So that's what it feels like, that to raise our level of consciousness would be able to come into that reality of the moment and be thankful for these gifts, because it does something to our psyche. It does to mine anyway. I'm just speaking, you know, from my own experience and just sharing that way. You know, and again, of course, I live in a place that's very profound in its expression of natural beauty, but everywhere is. But like I say, inside ourselves are. So if we can raise our level of consciousness and connect that, we can just feel more of that good energy. We call it medicine even, you know, it's a constant healing that we're getting to go kind of the other way from, like you say, the toxic, you know, idea of the toxic mimic of power. See, the real power, like you said, we invite it in and we're aware of it, you know. It's such the good news channel, literally, to channel that good energy and news, because that's how we've been created in the flow with every living being on the planet, you know. What an incredible story. So we want to strengthen this story, starting with ourselves, and never underestimate the power to change the world from right where you're standing. Because once we all understand that, we're changing the world. Because I've had a lot of conversations that, oh, yeah, Ron and I are solving all the world's problems. And I said, yeah, we are. We are the world. We perceive the world from our position as a human being in this body. You know, so that's kind of interesting, you know, to think about how amazing that is, to realize if we all flip the switch in compassion and respect and responsibility around the globe, it would change. You know, that's how close it is to us, right? That's why, how many more things do we need to have happen to kind of wake us up? And that's where we're kind of at, you know, like in a collective conscious, you know, even like your own self, you get to think back, what was I thinking years ago? This happened or that? And we learn. So we're in a powerful learning time, you know, and to like we said over and over, break the spell. And when they say it's time to wake up or, you know, all that stuff, it's right here to do. Right as we speak, right at this moment, we can have that epiphany, you know, that little revelation of like, wow, I'm a powerful human being created in connection with everything. And I do matter, because I think we're talked out of that. And I think we get overwhelmed kind of easier. We don't know how good to feel about ourselves or bad to be able to feel about, or who me. Like I was talking to the same friend about when he's talking about the white buffalo calf prophecy. We were saying, you know, a lot of times we shouldn't doubt ourselves so much. You know, don't doubt yourself so much when you have something sincere to say or get to know each other, you know, and you know, so we can grow.
Right. A friend, Jason in the Nines, used to say people argue so strenuously for their limitations, and I like changing it, going, you know, may it be that we celebrate our opportunities more than we used to argue for our limitations. There we go. Okay. And you're so good at that, fellow Libran. And we're at the last waning moments of Libra. The sun enters Scorpio at 4 p.m. today. There we go. Sizzle. But it is the aspiration. I mean, we're all befoibled, but the aspiration for everything to be a sacrament of kinship, whatever we think or feel or smoke or eat or whatever. And a wonder, incredibly vital, healthy friend in Hawaii says, light, motion, food. If you don't get light and motion, doesn't matter what you eat. There we go. Sleep, also good. I love, we're just bringing in everything. I love Zen Master Sun Tzu when he was asked, you know, what makes you a Zen Master? And he goes, when I'm hungry, I eat, and when I'm tired, I sleep. And I go, oh, someday I will do that. Yeah. That's so advanced.
Natural way. How exciting is it to imagine the future of education for our children?
Oh, well, there you go.
I just keep feeling that coming. I feel it coming. Like, when we all get it together and ask ourselves, what is our responsibility for the next seven generations, as it's been said, and wake up to ourselves right now and interpret what we understand to be a good way of life, a healthy way of life, or counsel, bring counsel together, whatever, and start to help our children catch on to how precious they are and how precious life is and how to respect yourself and so forth and so on, you know. It's just powerful. And you know, when you mentioned the detainment centers at borders last time, and that one has hit me. That hits hard, you know. And that's another reason for us to rise to the occasion even more, to have the compassion and commitment for all those children that have been separated. Because that can happen to all of us. So we don't want that to happen to anyone. But as we recognize that that's what's going on, that should help us realize we can do something about that by getting ourselves together and then start to advocate for children, you know, to respond in the best possible way we can.
And, you know? And these particular children, I mean, you know, all blessed, all trickster blessing to those people who are going door to door in Guatemala and Honduras looking for families who were deported without their children. Oh, my God. But, you know, as we're speaking right now, because I have the screensaver of the chart of now all moving. So right as we're speaking and right as you were invoking, because we're all practicing astrology without needing to know it, the moon is at 22 Capricorn, Pluto, death, rebirth, 22 Capricorn. And the tradition is that the moon in Capricorn is the council of elders dedicated to the next seven generations. Just as you were saying that, the moon, and you know, in a fairy tale, you know, in the impossible task, you go to everything. You go, crows, help us find the children. Okay. You know, foxes, wolves, help the humans to find the children and their families. I mean, we need to, again, engage all trickster and all dedication. You know, that this literal horror and what it represents, because anything that's anywhere is everywhere, you know, that we're really dedicated to that. And then avenues of synchronicity. We want to invite in synchronicity, going, that's amazing that they found. Although these children have been without their parents for 3 years. 3 years. Oh, my God. There's not enough recompense that can ever be done, you know, for the shame on this country and on humans, right? And I mean, again, animals, they do sometimes kidnap other animals. I mean, dolphins will kidnap a female dolphin, you know. I mean, nature's rough. But the cruelty, you know, seems to be unique to our species, gone off the reins, but the opportunity to break old vows that were once okay and then they become spells and take new vows. And that's how we can think of an election. It's a breaking of spells, you know, may it be. Yeah. We work with the befoibled, whatever, but with full Jupiter. You know, I want to compost people going, well, I'll hold my nose and vote. It's like, no, it's a sacred thing. You know, go plant your ballot in the woods with coyote hair and honey and red pepper, you know, and take that into the voting realm and, you know, design your ballot, but with full-on woofiness. And, you know, the image for Biden's son is, you know, king of the fairies, returns to his domain. We go, all right, we'll feed that thing. And the part of him that went to Gettysburg and said, government of the people, by the people, for the people, shall not perish from this earth. And we go, all right. Well, you know, whatever we concentrate on, we strengthen, right? It's not to be, you know, it's not to be oblivious. It's to be fully informed of all befoibelments, but equally informed of grace, you know. And we go, we can, you know. And magic's a willingness to cooperate with everything. But yes, the nefarious, the Blarney delusion, there is real danger. I mean, there is. I'm playing too, and I think of yourself, and our aspiration is we're on the front lines of dissolving the front lines, right? dissolve those things. And you yourself, I mean, that there are sacred sweats that you are participating in, which seems an extremely good part of our whole dynamic of the backstage invisible and the on stage tangible molecular. So are you doing dedicated sweats now?
Yeah, we are. And just to go along with what you were saying and talk about the people in Guatemala, you know, since we are creation in our mind, you know, our bodies and so forth, it's all connected. We're connected to creation, you know. So it's so powerful. And as I'm listening to you explain that stuff and then thinking about what's our position in this, and that's why it does matter everything we do, you know. And there's so much power in that, to be connected, to thinking if something's happened over somewhere else, well, I'm connected to that, but what can I do here where I'm at? And it does make a difference, right? So back to the sweats in Yosemite Valley, when you have a ceremony there, it's very powerful, very, very powerful. And for myself to be here all these years, too, in my own personal experience, it takes that relationship to another level of reality, of the energy of it, you know, the connection with, you know, bear might walk through, like you said, we're related to the bear, or all these other things, you know, so it helps, for one thing, cleanse and purify you, clean your mind up a little bit and your body, and then you see within a group, if we're respecting each other and we go into that ceremonial way, there's a lot of energy that's created and a lot of good thoughts that go out, and you just know that makes a difference, you know. So, but even in our own self, we are a ceremony. So if you're harmonizing yourself in your own backyard or whatever you're doing, you can put those thoughts out in that same ceremonial way. But the more of us that do that, the better, you know. And so, it's hard to even put in words sometimes how beautiful it is to be following a tradition and culture that's been rooted in a place for thousands of years, and see that the people are still going with it, and how important that is, especially at this time, to bring that into our psyche and share it. When it was said, all the nations or races need to come together now, you know, because we're human beings.
Yeah.
And like for me as a rock climber, I see nothing but potential to get through this particular crux of the climb that we're on, called living on the earth. And get to that next area that will, you know, start to get our kids in line and to continue this flow we're in, the circle.
And then a blessing that might come to us from Brer Grimes, right, who's become a buddy of yours, too. And so he was, and then Bear, or you said Bear. So a friend of his, he regales us, was... backpacking with her little baby on her back, and they came around a curve and saw a mother grizzly with her cubs, right? And the mother grizzly roared up like that. And the little baby on the back looked around and went, no. And the mother grizzly, as soon as it saw the baby, it was like, oh, no, cool. Okay, you're a mom. I'm a mom. All right, that's good. And it was all, yeah. And it's like, you know, it's when I said, you know, animals will, they will eat the young of others. They will, you know, sometimes kidnap grown-ups, you know, but no other species separates babies from their mothers in that way. Right. And I just want to draw on the, you know, the power of the mother grizzly to go, oh, respect for all mothers. No antagonism. All, you know, all praise to mothers, you know, as a blessing. Yeah.
Right. And when we bring that in the context of the separating the families, that's incredibly bad behavior, right? That's so cruel. And yet, that's a human being. We're all human beings. So to compensate that, we need to raise our level of awareness and compassion and opportunities to nurture and be good caretakers. You know what I mean? That's just an inspiration. No, it's not inspiration. It's a motivation to respond, you know? Like, why anything happens, you know, we don't, I've heard people say everything happens for a reason. So if we're trying to understand what could be the reason behind separating families, it's an atrocity, as we know, but it should get us together to think we got to inspire ourselves to nurture and creatively engage in how we can work on the healing wherever we're at. And, you know, I know it's complicated. It can sound complicated, but I think when we realize how much effect we can have with our good behavior, it ripples out.
That's good. I mean, because it is the dark magic, black magic of Steve Bannon and the people who thought this cruelty up, that feeds on cruelty, the demonic feeds on cruelty.
Yes.
And then does these horrible things so it's way out of line. And so, yeah, the antidote, again, you know, is ever greater ingenious kindness, ever greatest resolution, ever greater dedication.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, and, you know, our word citizen, right, to be citizen tricksters, to craft our customized liberating citizen trickster. So I was like, well, let me look up citizen, you know, and grumpy old Adam Smith, but he said, he is not a citizen who is not disposed to respect the laws and obey the civil magistrate. And he is certainly not a good citizen who does not wish to promote by every means in his power the welfare of the whole society of all fellow citizens. So, okay. I mean, you know, and, you know, dedication to collective well-being, you know, that we want to spiral out there, you know, as the essence of governance, as the essence of mutual aid, as the essence of how we want to gather, make a well for you, reciprocal blessing and ingenuity and who brought what. And, you know, and that invitation, and let everything be a sacrament. Again, what our words, our feelings, our whatever smoke, as an aspiration. And then I'll toss it back to you as we begin to wind down. But I always love Alan Watts, and we send this out to all people who found themselves in whatever it is. Alan Watts says, "No sense clinging to the rocks that are falling with you." Right. So it's like, come on, everybody. Here's a bridge. Here's a bridge over here to reverent ingenuity rising up out of this cauldron. Right. Come on over. You know,
that's right.
Who brought what?
Right.
We need everybody, right? That initiation, like you do with the youth that you work with, isn't part of that. Like we need you.
Yeah, and you know what I like about those guys is they're not confused about where they're at. They're locked up. You know, so they're pretty strong characters. You know, to face that, and it's kind of a inspiration in a unique way for me to think, you know, a healthy mind can look at the reality of what the situation, that's about back to rock climbing. I can't pretend I'm not on El Capitan 3,000 feet up or 2,000 feet up, passing a water bottle to my partner and say, do not lose your grip on that water, you know. So I find it, again, with the rock climbing kind of analogy, is that it's really powerful to look these things straight in the face of the rock or straight in the face of our situation and think, I'm here for a purpose. And as a rocker, my purpose is to try to make that climb. As a human being, my purpose is to be a helper and a healer and a mender of the earth. And that's a great purpose to have, you know? What a good feeling we get. Rather than try to maybe hide out or pretend it's not happening or kind of stay in denial, but we all kind of know, because you can't turn right or left. I'm telling you, Carolina, I've breathed a lot of smoke in these last months, right? I mean, it's been intense around here. It's been in our face. It's like, wow, you know? And so that is what it is, you know? But it sharpens your awareness, again, to think about when it clears up for a day and I can get a fresh breath of air. Man, the reality of that, because of the contrast.
We're on our way out, brother. We're on our way, brother Ron Kauk. Search for Ron Kauk, K-A-U-K, online. He does many marvelous things. Thank you so much. And the last thing that you're leaving us with is focusing on the danger guides us to freedom. This is really great. Okay. thank you so much, Ron.
Power.
And thanks to Kirsten Thomas and EA on the boards. I'm Caroline Casey. We will reconvene next week. Everybody hold steady. Focus on the danger guides us to freedom. Woof, woof, woof. Thanks, Ron. Yeah.